This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is happy to announce that in the 2019 Wine Line Awards, they won a silver for their Sauvignette and bronze medals for their Pinot, Charmedelet, and their Rosé. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. And welcome to your long weekend. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio, year 12. I realize that you have the whole of the weekend to listen. You don't have to hear the whole thing in one fell swoop because there's a lot of information on this show. You can find the details at tastingroomradio.com, which can also be found at our home website, which is mulliganstew.ca. We have stories upcoming on the 2019 Pinot celebration in Kelowna and the Garagiste North gathering in Kelowna. Also, our field blend special, which is taking on mega proportions. We're going to visit Fort Barron's. We'll also find out about the wines in the Passion Pit in the Similkameen. John Weber, the winemaker owner at Orofino, is going to take us on a ride through the vineyards. We're also going to repeat the Top Drop Victoria special that we did. And we have the Cowichan Wine Festival coming your way as well. But that's in the future. Right now, we're going to spend some special time with Chris Tolley. Chris, along with his wife, Beta, is the co-owner and the winemaker at Mooncursor. They opened their doors in 2006. At that time, the winery was called Twisted Tree. Eventually, they changed it to Mooncursor. That was a head-scratcher for a while. They're right at the southern tip of the Okanagan. And why did we want to know this? Because between the time that we did the interview and now, the 2019 Wine Align Awards came out. Mooncursor was named the best performing small winery in Canada. They won 11 awards, including the coveted platinum for their 2017 Tarika National. That's a two-part interview. And then Terry Lynn Stone is going to round out the show. She's the co-partner at Mayhem Wines. And you can find her at a pop-up tasting room. Actually, it's not even a room. It's a gazebo at Meyer Family Vineyards in Okanagan Falls. We'll talk Mayhem Wines to finish off the show. But we start with Jim Cuddy because, from Blue Rodeo and the Jim Cuddy Band. If you've followed this show for any length of time, you know that Jim is crazy about his wines. And he hooked up with Taz, one of the fine wineries in Canada, frankly. They make incredible wines. And they decided to make three wines under the label The Cuddy by Taz. So after we did the interviews about his music, then we talked to wine with Jim. And then I ran across at the Pinot celebration in Kelowna, Paul Pender, who's the winemaker at Taz. So we got a chance to talk about The Cuddy as well. So we start with Jim Cuddy, Paul Pender. Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. Have a great long weekend. If you're ready, here we go. It's not often that I can go directly into a wine conversation. I can do that with Colin Linden and a couple of others, and including Colin Cripps, but this is cool. I want to ask you about Cuddy Taz wines. I know that you're playing the Taz stage at one point in this summer,
yes.
But what were your hopes and dreams going into this partnership with Taz in terms of your wine? What did you want to do?
Well, Taz is a very good winemaker, and they do make quality wines out of Ontario, out of Niagara. So I wanted to join that get on that train, and we made a blend, a red blend, mostly Cabernet Franc. That's one of the things that Niagara does very well. Colin Cripps and myself went down with the winemaker, and we helped to make the blend, which was fun and felt useful. And then there's a Chardonnay also that they put together from one of their parcels. And then we also have a sparkling wine called Spark, which they are Spark by Cuddy, but they already have a Spark. It's Riesling-based. So that one is going to change. That one will be phased out, and there'll be a new one that will be named by me. And we're just trying to get that clearance for the name, but it'll be hopefully named one of my songs, and it'll be Chardonnay-based and made in a Champagne style. And sparkling wine from Ontario. And I don't know if you know my feelings about rosé, but I'm not a big fan of rosé, and I really think that people should be drinking a lot more sparkling wine. To me, it fulfills everything that rosé does with a lot more flavor and a lot more possibility of sophistication. So I really like sparkling wine. And so I'll be happy when that comes around.
That's the most disappointing thing I've ever heard you say.
Oh, the, you like the rosé?
Rosé hound. I'm a rosé hound.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, have you?
You know, I think mostly, and I should give you a chance to answer, but I think I won't. most people say, I love rosé, and they say, it's a great afternoon drink, and then there's a pause, and they say, and you can drink a ton of it. Now, I just don't think that that's a great selling feature for wine.
It's not at all. And it's none of those things. The great rosés that I love, and that makes love, are food rosés. You absolutely want to have chicken or turkey or something to wash that down, kind of thing, you know?
God. It's like most of it is just almost flavorless. It's just, it has no character.
Not anymore. You have to do a little
dip. I know there are some. But generally, as a type of wine, they're a rinse.
Well, most wines. Oh, jeez. That is so funny. Oh, my God. Oh, I don't know how to, I can't respond to that.
I know, it's hard, isn't it? It's such a broad prejudice.
There is no response to that. That's like you got run over by a tractor. By the way, Taz make a rosé, do they not?
They might. I mean, they make everything.
They're your partner.
They also bought, which we might, I might do something with them. They bought these big copper pots for distilling.
I saw that.
So we might make a whiskey.
Okay. By the way, just let me go back one step here. I love Cab Franc. I'm crazy about Cab Franc. Mm. I don't get to taste the Ontario Cab Francs because A, I don't get there, and B, they don't get here. But BC Cab Franc, very different north to south, east to west. It all depends where it's been grown, as good wine is. But you've tasted both. I'm just kind of wondering how different they are. What are your memories?
To tell you the truth, I don't think I've tasted a lot of BC Cab Franc. It seems like it's a very unique thing to Ontario. And I would say, you know, with Ontario, it has a bit of a...
green?
A troubled... Well, it has had that in the past. It had a very troubled past, and they put out a lot of Cab Franc because that seemed to be what grew well in Niagara. And they tasted green for years. Whatever they have done to change, or maybe the growing season is a little longer now with a bit of climate change, but now they're certainly, I would say the stuff that we tried for my wine was not green at all. It was voluptuous, and it was I think it's more like it seemed to me more like the northern Italian Cabernet Franc. It's really a nice flavor, unique flavor.
What are your thoughts on natural wines and pet nats?
I haven't really had enough of them. The ones I've had have been, you know, it's weird. And I haven't tried enough to, I don't get it yet. So, again, I just haven't tried enough. I love the idea. And the multiple flavors is probably not going to be something I'm going to get too much into. Like, I don't really like that in beer either. I don't like the combining fruit and other fruits in the flavors, but I'd like to try more to see what they're all about. What do you think?
I can't remember the question.
About natural wines.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
How could you not remember the question if you were listening to my answer?
No, I was listening to your answer, but then I thought, well, what did I ask him in the first place? Okay. Here's the deal. Sorry. When I find what I'm after, for example, Anne Sperling, who is a star back in Ontario, but she has her home vineyard that her family planted many, 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 many years ago, 1925. And she's doing some amazing natural wines. And I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I can't see myself drinking it each and every night. But anyway, last night I had an astonishing, Roussan, from Washington State, from Latta. I never even looked at the label. I mean, I knew the Latta wine, and I had brought it home from Seattle, and it was 2014. It had been in the bottle for 5 years.
Wow.
It's fantastic. So I just like to
That's
be surprised.
Funny. That's
by
usually a hot weather grape. That's interesting. Yeah,
very. All right, enough of that. But I'd love to see Cuddy wines on the West Coast, but at this point
they'll
in time...
They'll have to come in my bag, I
guess. They're going to have to smuggle them in, yeah.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
There was a panel at this fifth annual Pinot Noir celebration. I was stunned and delighted to find the Pender brothers together again. Reese Pender was the host and MC, as he always is. Paul Pender was sitting beside him, no relation. I think we've worked that out. The winemaker at Taz and speaking on behalf of Hidden Bench. Now he's going to have to speak on behalf of Niagara and even Prince Edward County. Did you have a hand in the cuddy?
Yep. We sit down with Jim once a year. We do a little blend up with him, and he's quite a wine guy.
He is.
You know, very knowledgeable, great taster, very focused individual when we're tasting. And
and I know that you probably lead him in a direction, say, this is, I think, is the sweet spot, but he would have his own.
Absolutely, yeah. No, basically we present Jim with the wines.
The choice.
There's a bunch of different wines that we've grown and made. They're in that barrel stage, and then we sit down with what's available, and we in the end we try them all blind. So
how big is the portfolio now for Cuddy?
Well, for Cuddy we have three. We have the Chardonnay, the Cab Merlot, and a sparkling wine.
He and I'm having this ongoing war about rosé. He can't stand rosé.
He will not drink rosé.
He can't. He's not.
Yeah.
He says I can't find a rosé I like.
Yeah.
Have you tried to convince him?
No. We kind of, you know, it's got to be kind of driven from him, so whatever he likes, we're happy to go along and make that. He's got to be behind it.
Oh, he's such a prince. Thank you very much for doing this.
My pleasure.
Nice to see you here.
Good to see you.
Thanks. Paul Pender. He is the winemaker at Taz on the Niagara Escarpment and is representing also and speaking on behalf of his next-door neighbor, Hidden Bench. We're at the BC Pinot Noir Celebration. Outside, having fun.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is happy to announce that in the 2019 Wine Line Awards, they won a silver for their Sauvignette and bronze medals for their Pinot, Charmedelet, and their Rosé. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. At the Wine Line Awards, awarded a gold for their 2016 Cab Franc, silver for the Cab Syrah and Merlot, and bronze medals for their Syrah, Malbec, Pinot Noir, Grove, Meritage, and Sauv Blanc. You can find them at bench1775.com or on the Naramata bench.
And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. I hope you are going to have yourself a fantastic end of summer, long weekend. And what better way to do that than to celebrate the best among us in terms of food, travel, destinations, wine, craft beers, ciders, everybody, spirits, everybody who's in the game. But if you really want to celebrate, what you want to do is celebrate the top 10 small wineries in Canada. You can't really call them small, but there's lots of them in the competition. And it's the Wine Line Awards of 2019. And the number one small performing winery in Canada is Moon Cursor. I have the man behind Moon Cursor, Chris Tully. You're there, right, Chris? You're right?
Yeah, I am here.
Okay. We did the interview that you're about to hear, Chris and I, 3 weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. It was before all of this came down. And so we're just going to tell you exactly how it all worked out, and then we'll go to the interview. So here we go. Here's what I love most of all about the Wine Line commentary, which was done by the spitter, Anthony Gismondi. At the end of the competition, the winery walked away with several medals, led by a platinum for its remarkable ode to the Douro Valley, the 2017 Touriga Nationale. They follow that up with six gold medals for a 2015 Tanat, think Uruguay, the 2018 Dolcetto, that's Italy, the 2017 Malbec, that's Argentina, the 2017 Tempranillo, a nod to Spain, the 2017 Petit Verdot, a classic from Bordeaux, and one final gold for a 2019 Dead of Night, a blend of Syrah and Tanat. You get the picture. This is one very different producer and in many ways a poster child for what we had always hoped would be the kind of innovative family estate winery that would grab the title of the best performing small winery in Canada. All that's left for you to do is to try the wine and eventually visit the winery to experience what the Tollys did when they first got into the business, something new and intriguing, and most of all different. That's an over-the-top, sold-out review. Way to go, Chris.
Yeah, that was very nice of Anthony.
And correct. And the thing is, you started in 2006. I showed up the summer of 2007, so you were just taking your baby steps then. But I remember that I kept saying to myself, How are they planting this stuff? If I remember correctly, one of the first interviews you and I did, you talked about you and Beta going to some of the places where these wines were grown and checking them all out. Am I correct there?
Yeah, some of them we did, especially the Dolcetto. My dad and I were actually, we went to the Longhi in Italy and tasted a lot of Dolcetto in Arnaiz. Arnaiz won the silver, two varieties from basically the area of Italy where they also grow Barolo and Barbaresco, Nebbiolo grape, and those are the two appellation names. Yeah, they kind of wondered why we were tasting Dolcetto and Arnaiz when we went over, but those were the ones we had our eye on for Soyuz here. So they've done great here.
And here's the big deal. The Platinum, which is the highest award you can possibly get, that's 1% of 1%. Moon Cursor 2017, Torrija Nacional, it won Platinum, which it really puts it in a league of its own. The thing about Torrija Nacional is you want to let it sit in the bottle for a while. And the longer you can wait, the greater reward.
Yeah, it's definitely a Vendegaard for sure. It can lay down for quite a while. And it's what's really nice about it is its palate. It's just a wonderful texture to it and a very signature flavor profile, so that it's when you're drinking it, you know you're drinking Torrija Nacional.
So now the gold winners from Moon Cursor 2019 Wine Line Awards, the Tanat, the Dolcetto, the Malbec, the Dead of Night, the Tempranillo, or the Petit Verdot. Which one is your private project, the one that you really, really took great pride in?
The one I take the most pride in, I guess, is the Dead of Night, because it's a Tanat Syrah blend. It's I think the marriage of the two is better than each individual wine on its own.
Sure.
But the one I really love for just plushness is the Malbec. It's a great variety for the Okanagan,
and it's the perfect spot. You're in the perfect spot for that Malbec.
Yeah, between Malbec and Tanat, if I thought we could make a go of it, that's the two varieties that I would have gone with.
Nice. And the silver, the Carmenere, my favorite, of course, the 2017 Carmenere, and the Moon Cursor Arnaiz finally coming through.
The Arnaiz, I think, was a no-brainer, and then Carmenere is a bit of it doesn't produce a lot of fruit, but what it does produce is very nice. One of my wife's favorites, she's a lot of credit to her. Actually, with the Dead of Night, she's the one who came up with the blend.
There you go.
Yeah, and the one whose palate we rely on most around
here. There you go, Beta. And the bronze was the Syrah, which I think could have been a gold. And the Moon Cursor 2018, Afraid of the Dark. Tell them about that blend.
Yeah, that blend is a Rhone blend, so it's a Viognier Roussanne Marsanne blend. It's about 40 Viognier, 40 Roussanne, 20 Marsanne. The last two, the Roussanne and Marsanne, sort of drive the ageability, if you will, of the wine. So you can lay it down for a while, and it'll develop really nice.
I simply don't have the skill to lay it down.
No, neither do I. They tend to disappear. I don't know how that happens.
It's a beautiful wine. It's a beautiful wine. Well, and what's happened since the awards have been announced? Has there been a fire sale?
Well, it's been popular around here, that's for sure. Yeah people notice, from people come into the tasting room to people I play tennis with, all know what has happened. So,
and is there any Torrija Nacional left?
I think there actually is a little bit left,
Okay. Can you and I talk with the interview we did a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's time. So playing the role of Chris Tolley will be Chris Tolley. Playing the role of the host will be yours truly, T.D. Mulligan. Here's the rest of the conversation. It's a two-parter about Moon Cursor. Well-earned. Way to go, Chris.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Remind people where Moon Cursor is in relationship to some of the other wineries around you.
So we're in Asturias, and Asturias is right near the border. We're very close to Incomit, sort of the only two wineries on the east side of Asturias. And then we're sort of proximal to Young and Wise, which is on the west side. There's Lariana, a border town, Adega.
Yep.
Is right beside us here.
Yep. Chris Tolley, the owner of Moon Cursor. We're going to talk a lot of wine here in a moment. If you don't have time to make notes or take notes, just go to the website, tastingroomradio.com, and we'll give you the rundown. You can listen to it back again, all to your heart's content, and we'll give you some notes and links as well. So before we get there, Chris, and we start you off this race, I understand that you now have accommodation.
We rent out our home at the winery here. We actually live in Penticton now, and we rent out this place, which is wonderful.
How many bedrooms?
Three bedrooms. Of the three, two of them have outstanding views down the valley. We're perched up on a hill here at Moon Cursor.
It'd be great for our family, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be wonderful. All yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's a gorgeous spot.
All right. Let's just go through some of the, not all of your releases, because you make a lot of wine. I'll just remind you, we're talking Moon Cursor here, my friends. Let's just talk whites for just a second. Afraid of the Dark, Viognier, Roussan, Marsan, gorgeous blend. But have you always made that?
Yeah, we always have. It was our first planting when we started the winery in 04, the Viognier, Roussan, and Marsan. The Viognier was sort of a novelty in the valley when we planted it, and Roussan and Marsan, nobody knew their names or what they were. So they were even more novel.
But why Roussan Marsan? What made you?
The Roussan Marsan, it's a fantastic blend, actually.
It's incredible.
And part of what really makes it nice is the Viognier has this prettiness. In general, stone fruit and perfume and, stone fruit being kind of peach apricot. And it's got this wonderful nose, but it's not a Vin de Garde, as it were, like a wine for keeping and laying down. But the Roussan and Marsan are, and they add wonderful secondary characteristics to the wine when you lay it down, bringing in a bit of a petrol note, almost like Riesling, some nuttiness, wonderfully aged wines of Roussan and Marsan. So the blend together offers both. It offers, when you drink it young, you get this wonderful perfume, sort of, particularly on the 18 vintage, a bit of tropical fruit, a bit of stone fruit. It's just a wonderful combination. And then, as that fades, as you age the wine, maybe after 2 or 3 years, that begins to fade, and then the secondary characteristics from the Roussan and Marsan start to pick up. The Roussan and Marsan add a bit of characters to the young Afraid of the Dark wine, but the load is mainly carried by the Viognier. And then vice versa. In the end, the load's mainly carried by Roussan and Marsan as the wine ages. And it ages into quite a lovely wine as well.
You know, if you go off on all of these wines, we have an hour special. You understand that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But these are your babies. It's okay. Yeah. 797 cases. Love that. What's the price point?
About $21.
Okay. The Arnay. Tell us about the Arnay, the 2017 Arnay.
It's a wine that took a lot of time to come in out of the vineyard. Came in November, actually, for a white, and the Soyuz is amazing. Still had its acidity. It has very nice, nuanced fruit, sort of pear in the background. Very Italian wine, so it's not demonstratively big. The prototypical Italian food wine.
For those of you who have never tasted Arnay's, try it from Moon Cursor. You may have found the wine of your life. Okay. Border Vines, 2016, a classic mix, classic blend. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that used to be our early to market red. So it's a Bordeaux blend. The two Cab Sauv, Merlot, Malbec, Petit Verdot, Carmenere, blended together. And it used to be a little more Merlot dominant for, the early to market release. So it was a little softer. Now it's Cab dominant. So it's a bit of more structured wine, but as you mentioned, it's 2016, got a year's age on it. Tasting wonderful right now.
A lot of fruit in there.
Yeah, it's 16 was a really good year, and we got in some really ripe fruit. A wonderful wonderful wine on its own, and at the price point, I think normally see it on the shelves around $27. That's a pretty good value, because that's some top BC fruit going in there, our best fruit out of the hottest spot in the valley.
So. Hey, Chris, there's some wonderful black pepper there. Is it from the Malbec or the Carmenere?
The Carmenere, yeah. The Carmenere always has a bit of that crushed black pepper character to it, and it's amazing how far it'll go if the Carmenere is is intensely that way, you know, 5 or 10% will make a whole blend.
All right. If you can lay it down, what, 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, five to ten. I'd say, you know, I'd say 10, you'd be wanting to drink it as soon as you could. But at 5, you could kind of drink or hold.
Sure. That's Moon Cursor. We're talking about Border Vines, their Bordeaux blend 2016. Price point?
You see it on the shelf for about $27, $28.
And the Arnais, how much is the Arnais going to be?
That would be in the $21 on the shelf as well.
Cab Sav by itself, 2015, there was a judging competition a number of years ago that said, why are we judging Cab Sav from BC? We can't grow it in BC.
That's not a bad claim, actually. It's a bit of a challenge no matter where you grow it. I ran into Bertus from Maverick, and he said, I'm out. I'm just not going to grow Cab. It's a challenge. It's a difficult grape if it's not ripe. But we're in a soyuz, arguably, I would say, the most heat in BC. So if we can't do it in the soyuz, we can't do it anywhere. But and we have some really nice sites here.
Hey, Chris, 2015 was a great year for you.
Yeah, that wine, having the wine as a 2015 release as Cab Sauv, that's a bit of a requirement in Cab Sauv from BC. Is you need the age on it because it comes out quite a very big structured wine that doesn't give much, and as it ages, it sort of loosens up and becomes a very wonderfully aromatic and subtle on the palate wine.
I see.
So that's a bit of our problem. That's not generally our release dates for wines. We're generally not selling 2015s and 2019, but the Cab Sauv requires that. But it also benefits so much from having that age on it.
What's the price point, Chris?
That one, I think, runs around $35, $35 to $40 somewhere.
It's a beautiful, beautiful wine. Moon Cursor, Chris Tolley, the co-founder, co-owner, and winemaker at Moon Cursor, South Okanagan, right up against the border. Now, here's the beauty here for me. Carmenere, 2016. I love this wine.
It's a wonderful wine. It's palate-driven, wonderfully subtle texture to it, spice components, a little bit of cedar, some black pepper, as we were saying before, some sort of fennel seed. Just a great wine for the Okanagan, sort of a Cab Sauv type.
Exactly.
Variety.
You need heat. And there's some years when you don't get that heat, so you don't do a single?
We do a bit of a single, but that variety becomes a problem when you don't have a lot of heat because it becomes a lot of black pepper.
Is that a bad thing? Wait a minute. Is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing. Some people really love the black pepper in the wine, especially a couple of ladies that run our tasting room. And then some people like the wine a little bit more fruit-driven. Certainly, it's the hallmark of Carmenere.
Sure. Hey Chris, so it's 2016, 407 cases. The price point?
It's about $40.
We're talking Carmenere, my friends. Homegrown, BC, yeah. South Okanagan, Soyuz, Moon Cursor, Carmenere. All right. Dead of the night. 50% Syrah, 50% Tannat, 380 cases. How did this come about?
Now, this was a blind tasting. My wife and I did blending Tannat. We had some other varieties. As you know, we do a number of them here. And so we tried it with Syrah, and it works wonderfully. Tannat is a big, big tannic wine with some odd characteristics when it's young. So it's probably why you don't see it as a single varietal a lot. It ages very well, but rounds out kind of like the Cab Sauv, you know, after about 4 or 5 years. But if you blend it about half and half with Syrah, we found it sort of boosts the Syrah because it's a big wine, and the Syrah sort of knocks some of the awkward edges off Tannat, and you end up with a wine that's. I don't think you'd ever see it in France blended together because the grapes come from different regions,
sure.
But they blend really well.
What's the price point on that?
That one's $40 as well.
Now we come to Dolcetto. This is a real beautiful surprise. Thank you for doing this. 387 cases, Piedmont region of Italy.
We have it on a very good red site. It's a wine that I really loved. My dad and I went over there to research it, and that's how we ended up planting our Arnais as well. Sort of a passion for Dolcetto. I know it's not the expensive wine of the region in Italy, but it's certainly one that captivated our attention. And so when we came back, we decided we had to plant a little bit, and it it comes out really nice here. And in some ways, it's more accessible than its Italian counterpart because it's a Nouveau style wine, and we get it to market sort of in the Nouveau, timeline. Whereas if it's coming from Italy, it'll take longer to get here. So it's best drunk young.
Hey, Chris, you must have poured this for some Italians. How do they like your version?
They very much do. It's a little different than the Italian, but certainly varietally on the mark.
And what would you pair with it food-wise?
It's got a really intense characteristics. I like pungent dishes. I had some octopus at Chef Meets Grape. That was a great match with it. It was smoked. so you could match it. It's got a good acidity, so it matches tomato-based dishes as well, something with, sort of blue cheese.
Okay.
It's got a lot of intensity to it.
Dolcetto 2017 from Moon Cursor. What's the price point?
That's about $28, I think.
Try it, my friends. Try it. Malbec Single Varietal 2016. We know what Malbec is. We know what Argentine Malbec is. 388 cases. Yours has a black cherry center to it that's fantastic.
The Malbec does unbelievably well here in the South Okanagan, especially here in Osoyoos with this heat. It's a bit of a Southwest France variety as well, so it likes the heat. Can't say enough about the fruit characteristics it delivers. I almost hate to put any oak on it at all because it's so bright. Like as you said, dark cherry, blueberry, a pretty wine, but also a pretty full-bodied wine as well.
That's part one of our conversation with Chris Trolley from Moon Cursor. We'll be back with part two, and we start with Petit Verdot right after this.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. At the Wine & Line Awards, awarded a gold for their 2016 Cab Franc, silver for the Cab Syrah and Merlot, and bronze medals for their Syrah, Malbec, Pinot Noir, Grove, Meritage, and Sauv Blanc. You can find them at bench1775.com or on the Naramata bench. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, celebrating another award-winning year with an exceptional Platinum Award for their Marsan. Also awards for their Viognier, GSM, Cab Sauv, and Fifth Element. Road 13 on the Golden Mile. It's all about the dirt.
Tasting Room Radio. My name is Terry David Mulligan. Chris Tully is on the line. He is one of the partners, he and Bita, his wife, at Moon Cursor, right on the border, South Okanagan. And they have a wild portfolio. We love these people and we love their wines. This is part two, and we've arrived at Petit Verdot, which you use, everybody uses for blending, but a single varietal gets my attention.
Yeah, we do. We do a single varietal mainly just this is, there's no commercialness to it. It's mainly for fun for us. It's a wine that when you lay it down, it's wonderful. After a few years of age, we have sort of a cult following for this variety. It's a wonderful variety, on par with Cab Sauv, different characteristics.
And price point, Chris?
It's $35, I think, at the tasting room.
Exactly. Exactly. How good is your Syrah 2016?
That's a very nice. We sell out of that very, very quickly. We have a vineyard that's owned by Jason Barsh and his wife, and they have 4.5 acres of Syrah that was planted in '98, clone 7, on SO4, a rootstock, like big vines that produce great grapes. They got a nice south aspect to their property. Beautiful stuff coming
what,
in.
What do you think the cellar window would be, Chris?
It's I'd probably say 5 to 8 years is probably it'd be interesting. Certainly just as good after 5, but a different wine. And then as when you got to 8, you'd probably want to start about,
You can drink it now. But the payoff on this Syrah down the road for 5 years or 8 years would be phenomenal. What's the price point?
That is I think it comes in just a shade under 30. It's $29.
We're almost there, Chris. Here we go. And I know you want to talk about the Tenet 2014. Oh, 2014.
Absolutely. Yeah, as I said, makes an awesome wine once you put that much time under its belt. Comes out of fermentation with a lot of interesting characters, almost too expressive, and then ages. Tenet by itself can age almost forever. It's got incredible acidity, a fair bit of tannin, wonderful intensity of fruit, and then a fair bit of alcohol from the amount of sugar it puts on the vine. So it's built to last, and then it takes a little while to get it to where you want it, and then it'll just age for forever. I can't imagine. Even in the dead of night, as we mentioned, it's half Tenet, half Syrah.
Sure.
And after, we have vintages going back to 2009, and they taste a fairly recent vintage. So
I know that Tenet, I kind of discovered it through South America, Uruguay and Argentina and down there. But the French version, that's the original, right?
Yeah, they're the French version out of southwest France, so in Madren and the areas just outside of below Bordeaux, and then I think Chateau Montus is the champion of that grape in that area.
And it's a 2014, and you held it in barrel?
Yeah, I think that one only spent a year in barrel, though, and it spent the rest of its life in bottle.
Yeah, you bottled in March of 2016. Way to go.
Yeah, so it's...
And the price point?
That's $40 as well.
Tenet from Mooncursor. Almost there. Tempranillo.
Yeah, Tempranillo is a wonderful variety, a Spanish variety, a widely planted variety in the old world. Not so well known in the new world, but it makes a wonderful wine, sort of leather and mushroom and tobacco, those sort of characters on it, mm-hmm. and some bright cherry from our version, because we don't age it as long as our old
sure.
world counterparts.
But, you got your hands on 287 cases.
Yeah, we have about an acre and a half of it, maybe a little more. It loves the heat. It produces a wonderful wine for food pairing. As I said, it's got those sort of more earthy characters to it with a little bit of fruit showing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we put a little American oak on it, so it's got a bit of a pretty nose as well.
Price point?
That's about $30 as well.
And finally, we come to Mooncursor's Torriga Nacional.
Yeah, so in Açores, there's a fair number of Portuguese that have come here, and one of them, Tom Fernandez, who owns... the packing plant here owned a piece of property, and he wanted to plant his Torriga Nacional from the old country, and so we planted a bit of it. I personally didn't think it would do that well, because Portugal on the Douro is unbelievably hot. Well, we're hot here, but that's super hot. But it did quite well. It's won the Lieutenant Governor's Award. It's done unbelievably well. And it hasn't been made into a port yet, but we're looking at maybe doing a little bit of that. But as a table wine, phenomenal. Not a big wine, though. Like, not an overly fruit-forward wine, either. It's got sort of more baker spice components to it. It's sort of a lighter... sort of a medium-bodied wine, but just the texture of the wine on the palate, it's just wonderful.
And you are the only one growing that, are you not?
I am, and now Rich de Silva does.
He's Portuguese, and he can do that.
Yeah, I he had the trump card there.
And he's bigger than you.
Yeah, I don't tell Rich what to do. No, not at all.
Torriga Nacional, what is a bottle of 2016 Torriga Nacional going to cost?
That's $40 as well.
Chris, Bita, it is heroic what you've done, and all the awards coming your way are extremely well earned. I love the risks you take on our behalf, and I hope it all pays huge dividends for you.
Well, thank you very much.
It's Mooncursor. When you look at the bottle and you go, I don't, what? What is it? I'm telling you now, trust what's in the bottle. because these guys give their life and their passion and their time and their brilliance to it. It's Moon Cursers Wines. Go find them. Hey, stay in the house. Three bedrooms. It's a beautiful thing. What's your website?
Mooncursor.com.
Have yourself a great year, Chris.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it.
Chris Tolley, who is the co-partner, co-founder, and the winemaker at Moon Cursor, South Okanagan, right up against the border. Go and pay them a visit. Wonderful tasting room, wonderful tasting room staff. It's one of the places you want to go, and you want to come away with some of this. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by Road 13, celebrating another award-winning year with an exceptional Platinum Award for their Marsanne. Also awards for their Viognier, GSM, Cab Sav, and Fifth Element. Road 13 on the Golden Mile. It's all about the dirt. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. At the prestigious 2019 Wine Line Awards, The Hatch Wines won a coveted Platinum Award for their Dynasty Red 2016. Also 5 silver and 1 bronze, and claimed the number 18 spot of the top 25 wineries in Canada. All the details at thehatchwines.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. She is Terry Meyer. She is a partner in Mayhem Wines, an interesting mix, a dynamic of people, thus Mayhem. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Thank you. What kind of a season is it? I know that who knows what's going to happen between now and harvest, but what do your bones tell you about the season, the growing season?
Well, just looking at the grapes, I think it's going to be a great season, actually. So, you know, you never know what Mother Nature is going to deliver between now and harvest, but we've had a pretty dry and warm but not super hot, and we've got lots of grapes on the vine, and they all look clean and growing and nice size. So fingers crossed.
Let's talk about that partnership for a second, because it's a really interesting foursome, starting with you and your brother Jack. We know Jack and we know Janice Stevens from Meyer Family Vineyards,
right?
And then along came you and Andrew.
It's kind of crazy, so that's why we ended up calling it Mayhem. And anytime you're doing business with your family,
yeah,
especially my brother Jack,
yeah,
it can get kind of crazy and fun. So we started the Anarchist Mountain label, and with our small vineyard, we can really only do about 500 cases. That's sort of our maximum volume. So Andrew and I were doing, well, what should we do when we grow up? Do we want to look at trying to expand? Do we want to join forces with someone? Do we want to sell this and move to Tahiti? You know, we were doing one of those discussions. We were drinking wine. All good ideas come with wine.
Sure.
With Jack and Janice. And Jack was saying, you know, he gets some great opportunities that come across his desk for if he's purchasing some Pinot Noir or leasing a property, but they say, yes, but we want you to take our Pinot Gris and our Pinot Blanc as well. So he was looking at how he could expand. And actually, we had looked at a few other little projects. There was a small winery for sale. We were trying to figure out, could we do that and then do Anarchist from there? And so I think we're always thinking and dreaming. And so he said, you know, what if we put together something where you sell us your Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, ergo removing a very tiny competitor from him.
Sure.
But, and then our Merlot that we have here, plus the Gewurztraminer he has on his property and the contracts that he has for these other grapes, we could now put into this new wine label called Mayhem.
And the Merlot, you have a lot of Merlot, right? That's your most grown varietal?
Well, when we say a lot, it's never as much as a big guy, but we do have about an acre of Merlot. So
okay.
we do about 6 tons. So we contribute to that. So from this year, we did a Merlot Cab Franc blend. We found some wonderful Cabernet Franc. And so we did that blend. And then we also did a rosé from our Merlot.
Did you consider doing a single varietal Cab Franc, said the very selfish host?
We did do one. It's delicious.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just for you, Terry.
If I could just put my lips on it, I'd be really happy.
Sorry. And it's kind of a crazy market. You know, we've got some big guys are gobbling up some of the smaller guys. We just had the Cumlina purchase recently, and Laughingstock and Row 13. So in many ways, this made some sense rather than us continuing as a tiny boutique winery, but to join forces with Jack and try to build more of another a mid-size winery. And we're really focused on aromatic whites and then our Merlot and Cap Franc. So that's kind of the backbone of what we're doing for Mayhem.
Okay, let's just, if we're making a list on the left-hand side of the page, give me the varietals that you actually grow and shape and form and that you're the farmers for.
Okay, so that's an easy, short list. So we do Merlot on our property for Mayhem.
Yeah.
And that goes into our Merlot and Cap Franc blend and our rosé. And then we do, on Jack's property, he's got Gewürztraminer. And that we just released this year,
right.
2018.
And everything else you purchase?
Everything else is contract. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
So we have some long-term contracts. And then we have some short-term opportunistic things that came up. So our first year we had a Sauvignon Blanc because someone had extra because it was such a bumper crop. So we said, sure, let's make a Sauvignon Blanc. And then we didn't make it for the 2018 because we didn't have access to it. But we liked it so much that we went out to find some for the 2019.
Hey, Terry, what is the, at Mayhem, what is the thinking? Is there damage? Is there sort of customer damage when you have a Sauvignon Blanc 1 year and not the next? Does it just tick people off, or are they very forgiving because they just wait for the next year to come along?
Well, now that you brought it up, Terry, they might. well, for us, because when we brought it out, we were so new and we had such a small amount. I think that we've had some restaurants, they love it. But this year we came out with just a really killer Riesling. So some of those shifted over to the Riesling. So in many ways, we have the ability to be a little bit more flexible and move quickly. So if someone says, that Sauvignon Blanc was so great, we loved it, we want more of it, then we go, that's a good one to keep in our portfolio.
She is Terry Meyer, along with Andrew Stone. They are at Mayhem, Mayhem Wines, along with Janice Stevens and Jack Meyer from Meyer Family Vineyards in Okanagan Valley. Well, specifically Okanagan Falls. No, there are no falls in Okanagan Falls. Now, if we can do a speed round, Terry, because it's the kind of stuff you love to do, chatting about your wines. Let's just run down the whites if we could. Is there still some 2017 Pinot Gris left?
There is a tiny amount of the 17 Pinot Gris, pretty well just at our pop-up wine tastings or online.
Sure.
Yeah, we do have also a bit of the 17 Pinot Blanc, which is just wonderful. Our wines, basically, the grapes are coming from Naramata and Okanagan Falls for the most part. And we do get one little batch out of Kelowna.
So I see the Sauvignon Blanc, the 2017, is from Naramata. And I like the acidity in it.
Yes. Here's a couple of things we go for, because one of the things we really wanted was to develop a wine. Obviously, we didn't have a tasting room yet, so that was great for restaurants. So the thing we wanted for restaurants was crisp, so we want a good acidity. It was fresh and clean, like our wonderful BC wines are. And then we have a pretty good price point as well, so that restaurants can bring them in, serve them well with food, and they're balanced, but with good acidity. And actually, across the board, they tend to be a little bit lower alcohol as well.
And the Pinot Blanc 2017 was sourced from Kelowna.
That's really fresh and lovely.
This is the Terry and Terry Show. I'm Terry David Mulligan. She's Terry Meyer. She's from Mayhem Wines in Okanagan Falls. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We've just run down the whites. I'm going to help you out here, everybody. The Pinot Gris 2017-2018. The Sauvignon Blanc 2017 and the Pinot Blanc 2017, they're roughly between 120 cases for the Pinot Gris and all the way up to something like 214 cases. So you know you're going to have to chase just a bit. There's no, you know. However, the really cool thing is that the retail price is $18.
Yeah.
That's really good. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Now, the Gewürz for 2018 and the Riesling for 2018, how much did you get your hands on?
Again, small amounts. So they're sort of around that 120 to 140 case for each of those. Our largest production in the 18 that we did, and that's in quotes, was the Merlot because it came from our property.
Right.
And we have there's a tiny little bit that's on the Meyer family Okanagan that goes in. And it was more like 400 cases. So that was like huge. And the Pinot Gris was closer to about that. So everything else that we make is on that small case lot.
Sure.
So 100, 110, 150 cases.
Now, I come to a pivotal moment here, and that is the 100% Merlot Rosé from Anacostia Mountain. How many cases?
So again, there was about 120 cases of that one done.
Okay.
And it is the first time we've ever done a rosé from our Merlot on Anarchist.
And so, did you talk about color?
Yes. That was my number one request. Like, I'm not a winemaker. I'd love to pretend I was. And my wine, you know, my evaluations tend to be things like yummy, not yummy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Sure.
You know? But I knew that I wanted a really light color. I wanted that a la Provence light color.
Yeah.
So we didn't put it on the skins for very long, just a quick cold soak and then off the skins.
How long did you soak? Interesting.
I think it was just overnight.
Sure. Okay, good.
Yeah. And just until we said, okay, enough color, and then it was taken off. And we did pick it at a lower Brix as well. So for our Merlot blend, we picked it at about 25, 26 Brix. And then for the Rosé, we picked it more at 23 Brix. So it's really, it's dry, so it's not sweet, because that's a problem for me with a lot of Rosés, that when you get that darker color and you get kind of a thicker, sweeter Rosé, that's not my preferred style. And so it's got that crisp, it's, you know, beautiful strawberry and rhubarb and a bit of cranberry, and I just love it.
Way to go. Make more, please, okay?
Yeah.
Now let's turn, let's turn the corner here for a second. The Cab Franc 2015, is it still available?
We have a tiny amount that's still available. There's a few of the major or the boutique liquor stores that might have it, Lower Mainland and in the Okanagan. We do have about 10 cases left at the winery that we have, and then that's it. So we will be releasing a new one, but again, small, 75 cases that we'll be bottling in September.
There's some barrel aging going on in the Cab Franc 2015, and I can taste just a bit of new oak in there. I know there's maybe mid oak, but it's nice. I love the texture that it applies. 150 some cases, 30 bucks. But this is a single vineyard Cab Franc, my friends, from the Okanagan. It's well worth it. Do you remember when our Cab Franc used to be green? It's it's changed dramatically.
Oh, yes. Well, and I think I'm pretty excited about Cab Franc for the Okanagan, because I think with our climate and our terroir, I think we're doing a great job of Cab Franc as a single variety.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And I love it in a blend. It just gives you that backbone and that little bit of kick that's there. But as a single variety, it's one of my favorites. And I think everyone talks, you know, Pinot Noir is our red. And
no, it's Cab Franc. Cab Franc.
But
I'm telling you, I'm with you on the Cab Franc, totally.
Yeah, but I just think compared to what you see coming out of the rest of the world, I just think we do a great job with Cab Franc.
And the last red I want to talk about is the Merlot Cab Franc, of course, the biggie. It's 375 cases, 2017. 75% Merlot, 25% Cab Franc from Anacostia Mountain and Naramata Bench. How long did it take to find that sweet spot with that blend?
Oh, they did lots of blending. They were, first of all, they wanted to find which barrels of Merlot they wanted to use in that blend, and then which would go with the Cab Franc. We wanted to keep some of the best barrels for the single variety Cab Franc, but we also wanted some good ones that were going to go into the Merlot. And then the percentages we didn't want to use up too much of our Cab Franc. So I think that's probably about the highest percent we'll ever get is that 25%. It's fabulous. That's the fun part. Lots of testing trials to get that blend.
Now, here's what's really fabulous. It's 25 bucks.
I know. And it has just hit, I don't know what happened. It's so beautiful. It was good. And then somewhere around mid-June, he just did this hello world. Yeah. It's so smooth and luscious, and I'm in love with it.
And that's a 2017?
Yeah, it's a 2017.
And is it out there? Yeah. Can we actually fondle bottles on shelves?
You should be able to. Okay.
Well, you make enough of it.
Yep.
Very cool. Very cool.
If not, you can find me. We're online. You can order online. We ship. We do that.
You told me when we first picked up the phone that you were doing a pop-up. Is that what you're doing in terms of just getting your product out there?
Yes. So we have aims to have a tasting room probably in Caledon next year, mm-hmm. if all goes well. And but for this summer, we are doing a little pop-up in, there's a little hut, a gazebo hut on Meyer family property. And we are doing on Fridays and Saturdays, 11 to 4. We're there with our little mini tasting room.
Nice.
Nice.
Excellent.
Yeah, it is. It's really fun.
Does anybody want to make bubble?
Well, I do. If we do, though, traditional bubbles are with the Burgundy variety. So right now that's all in the Meyer family arena. They're making a beautiful bubble.
Okay. Let's give them your address and your social contacts.
Actually, the best place to find us is just look online at mayhemwines.com.
Yep.
And then on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, we're Mayhem Wines, at Mayhem Wines.
And she is a partner, one of four in Mayhem Wines, Terry Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, Terry spelled properly, T-E-R-R-Y, not an I with a little happy face over the top.
Right.
And she's busy doing, she's going to do pop-up right now, and she has to get all dressed up for it. No, you don't. No, you don't.
I should probably get clean.
Well, you're in a gazebo. Yeah. You can, it's okay. Have yourself a great growing season, and we look forward to the next Mayhem.
Oh, thank you, Terry. I appreciate it.
Terry Meyer, Mayhem Wines. Check them out and check out the pop-up at Meyer Family Vineyards Fridays and Saturdays, 11 to 4, you said, Terry?
11 to 4.
11 to 4 o'clock. If you happen to stumble in there and you've forgotten about this, you'll thank us later. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And congratulations to all those hobos at The Hatch. Their blend of Malbec, Syrah, and Merlot called the Dynasty Red has just won the highest honor, a Platinum Award at the Wine Align National Wine Awards 2019. Get your hands on it. TheHatchWines.com.